Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, in the first half from the School of Greatness, Lewis Howes comes in here. Also, there's news. Yeah, we switch the order up. We'll do that right after this.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now, let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jay Leno. And from the School of Greatness, Lewis Howes. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, so fresh from the Leno interview, the studio still smells like gasoline and denim. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to amend it. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to some friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
Cool.
Lewis Howes is our guest. The School of Greatness, the name of the pod. He's an athlete and played at very high levels, including arena ball, but All-American college as well. And we'll talk about that. Motivation and inspiration. Leno's coming up next. Did over an hour with him, and you will learn things about that event that will blow you away. You'll go, I didn't hear. You'll have less trust in the news and its reporting after hearing Jay explain some of the details of catching on fire.
He did it on purpose for the chemical peel.
That makes
sense. That's right. He was protesting the Vietnam War.
That's right.
So, Brian, Lewis, good to see you, by the way.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Brian, just out of the gate, has a story, a question.
I was on Lewis's podcast, The School of Greatness, 8 years ago when my book came out to promote the book. Lewis has obviously got on to bigger and better things, but at the time he was slumming it with guests like me, and I came in and talked about the book. I was so impressed with Lewis as a host and just as a person. He really, now, Lewis, you got to tell me if you, first of all, you may not remember, but Did you read my book? Because you had like serious questions about the book, or did you farm it out to the producer who read the book?
I probably then read the book, but now I'm doing like 3 episodes a week, so I'm more skimming and getting the research the hour brief before as opposed to, and I'm a very slow reader, being dyslexic, so it just takes a long time. But I think that was my first or second year of podcasting, so I was like, I want to make sure I do the over-prepare for everyone, you know?
Yeah, Lewis was a great interviewer, just a substantial guy. I did a number of podcasts to promote the book, and some were fun, some were whatever. And yours was one of the better ones I went on at the time. Your fun story, your, I believe, producer at the time, you have to fill in the blanks where I forget. There was a young lady who was either producer or assistant. Mm-hmm. She she read the book, and she was so moved by the razor blade story. Remember, I'm in Costco, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I'll never use all those goddamn razor blades. I'll be dead in a year. And right. That was the moment where I was like, wait, I'm not going to be dead in a year. I'm going to buy the goddamn razor blades. She bought me a 24-pack shelf pack of razor blades upon doing the podcast. She's like, here, I bought a gift for you. I'm like, that's so nice.
That's true.
Yeah, Brian Sarah was Livingston. So down, he was buying one garbanzo bean at a time. Yeah. Back then.
Why waste the money?
Why buy the can?
It's like 50 in a can. Right. You only use 9 on your salad.
That's right.
I may not have that many salads left. The great Jay Leno will explain that he's dyslexic as well when you hear him later on. Maybe, look, between Tom Cruise and Stephen A. Smith, I was just talking to, and yourself and the great Jay Leno, maybe this dyslexia is some sort of blessing that shows up as a curse. Maybe you get better at talking than you do at reading. Maybe there's some form of overcompensation that goes on. Because it seems like every successful person I know
was dyslexic.
They're either dyslexic or they slept in their car. Those are the new. Those are two. Yeah. So I'm going to tell my son.
Which one are you?
Pick one.
Either going to be dyslexic or you sleep in your car because I demand greatness.
Yes. Yeah. It's right. Stephen A. was also dyslexic growing up, right? So.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that they have a shortcoming in one department, so they become more verbal and more vocal. Right. And I don't know if that happened
for you. For me, it was going into sports. I didn't feel confident speaking in front of peers because I was really afraid of being judged by not being smart enough in school. So I was always kind of in the bottom of the class, and it always made me feel insecure. And in our school, they would give us a ranking on our grade card based on where you were in the class with other students. So I don't know if they did that out here in L.A.
Oh,
I was always in the bottom four, which didn't really build my confidence. And so I leaned all into sports. And I know you played like All-State football.
No, just all league.
It's come up.
All league. Lineman, right?
Big time. I played linebacker too. But I was 497 out of about 535 or 550.
That's 30 kids who died, didn't even bother to show off half the time.
Moved. Yeah, I got my ranking too. Chris will have it somewhere. Did you get the overall high school ranking or was just in?
Every semester you would get like the ranking of where you were with all students that semester. And so it was always in the bottom four, all through high school, in the bottom four. And
four, four human beings.
I was better than
out of
hundreds. Hundreds. Not that many, but it was challenging. But more, it was just like it built upon insecurity on learning in school. And it was just hard to comprehend in books. So I'd read a page and read it over and over, like 17 times, and I felt like I still don't remember what I just read. So I would just kind of give up.
But if I read the page to you. And you closed your eyes.
It'd be different.
Then you'd know it.
Exactly.
Right.
So I learned in different ways.
Yeah. Right.
And it was just hard to read. But that's why I like listening to podcasts, like watching movies, being told a story around information, I can remember a lot better.
I've read this.
I was 497 out of 570.
Really?
I'll put it up on the screen. It's official.
Wow. It's actually
That's
worse.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's not great. A 1.75 GPA.
Yeah.
It's good ERA.
Wow.
The only reason I passed high school was because my senior year English class, I was failing English. And my teacher said, you cannot get into college unless you pass English, senior year English class. And she was like, you can't play college football, essentially. And so she worked with me every day after school to get me into just a passing grade so I could graduate high school to go play college football.
My heart is officially warmed because I've got to tell you, I talked to Jay. I talked to Stephen A. That'll air later. I speak to you now, Lewis. Each one told me a story about some teacher pulling them aside and saying, okay, you're bad at this, but I think you're good at that, and I can help.
Right.
And we always talk about everyone falling through the cracks and whatever, and I missed that day. I was probably absent the day someone was going to tell me that I had some gift, that some potential that was unrealized. But I'm now 3 for 3. It's literally 3 guests in a row,
wow.
All dyslexic, and all had somebody pull them aside and say, I think I can help you.
Yeah. It was a gift. I mean,
and then why isn't there more of that, or is it going on and it just doesn't feel like it?
You know, it's interesting because there's people that I see in my I guess I don't know sphere that are doing good things, but I see like are also struggling in certain ways. And I try to reach out to people, whether it be through a text or a phone call, and say, hey, here's some things that I see that's in you. All you got to do is start really taking action here. I'm happy to support you. And it feels like they don't want to take action on it. So maybe there are people that were reaching out to them, but they just didn't have the courage to show up.
This is an interesting and scary hypothesis.
You know, and then you stop offering your service to be of value and help people if people don't take it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because I was looking at from another perspective. It's like, why aren't these teachers doing more of this? I didn't know everyone's a little self-entitled, snot-nosed piece of shit who's yelling, you're not the boss of me, to everyone who's trying to impart
something. Not everyone's accepting the gift.
Right.
To
maybe
them.
Not. Maybe not.
Yeah. No, that is correct, because we have completely changed our relationship with who kids are and how they work in terms of a coach or a counselor or something going, hey, let me lay some wisdom on you, and how receptive. When I was growing up, you didn't have a choice. If somebody pulled you aside and said, I'm going to tell you something, and they were taller than you, you had to listen.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of my time.
You know what? I was thinking about this. You guys tell me if you dig on this or not. I was watching my entertainment shows last night, and everyone was just kept talking about their kids, and then they kept doing this thing where every starlet that wins an award at the Academy Award or the Grammys or whatever the event is, People's Choice, they thank their kids. They explain that their three-year-old has more wisdom and more courage than they could ever dream of doing.
You're my teacher.
Then they break down the fucking fourth wall and talk through the lens. Yeah. She's at home right now. She's in her jammies.
Go to bed, Kenneth!
I said, okay, I grew up, Charlton Heston would walk out smoking, thank his guma, and leave. Nobody thanked their fucking kids. I didn't know if anyone, John Wayne, had a kid or not. He thanked the Academy.
Yeah.
This is a new thing, and it's got to be up 10,000%. The weaving, every sit-down interview with the new mom, it's always, they're talking about their kids.
The lessons they're learning from their kids.
I'm learning so much from the kid, from the person who shits himself in his underoos. I've learned some valuable wisdom from the guy who's currently shitting on himself. Okay. Maybe this is the problem. Maybe it's this self-esteem movement. Maybe the kids aren't moldable. Maybe it's the teachers. And then the worst position as a society is you stop trying, like you do with your friends. You go, hey, I got some ideas. And they go,
I'm going to offer as much as I can. But if the worst thing, I'm sure you've seen this, Adam, where people maybe have reached out to you. Maybe they don't do it anymore, but in the past they reached out to you and say, hey, can I get 10 minutes of your time? Can I ask you for some advice? I'm sure it's happened a lot in your career.
Money, but
stages,
replace advice money for money in 15 minutes.
But go ahead. But whenever that happens, it's the worst thing for me. When I used to do that 15 years ago when I was broke, trying to figure out life, and I was reaching out to a bunch of successful wannabe mentors that I wanted them to be my mentors, I would ask them, tell me what to do, and I would do everything in my power to do it 110% for months, and then I'd come back and report to them and say, this is what I did. This is the route I did. This is the results I got. This is the challenges I faced, but I didn't want to go back to them until I showed them that I valued their opinion, their time. And it's the worst feeling for me now to do this for someone, and then they just don't take any action because they're still afraid or they're distracted or they're unsure of themselves. Then don't come and ask someone for an opinion if you're not going to actually take the action.
Well, let's see if we can kind of break it down this way, which is there are sort of two camps, and I've experienced both of them and I've lived in both of them. There's the camp, which is the guys I went to high school with camp, who strictly want to hang out with people that are less successful than they are.
To feel better about themselves.
This is how the Corolla family is. The only friends they had were loser friends because they never really got the talk from the loser friend, but the winner friend would give them the talk, and they wanted to – shame is such a powerful thing. And then there's the people who go, that guy's got it going on. I want to learn what that guy's – not I want him to give me a loan. It's just I want to see who these people are and what they're doing. And I used to be in the camp of let's just hang out with losers together. And then at some point in my later 20s, I was like, I think I'd rather find the people that have something going on and spend time with them.
and it immediately changes your life. But it is humbling because you're going out to lunch with these guys and you can't afford to barely pay for your own sandwich, right, much less pick it up. and it's humbling. It's a little shaming, uh-huh, but it's inspiring. But the number one lesson I think I got out of that and that I learned from that was not tips and wasn't any specific information. It was like, the guy who's the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Times is not any different than I am, who's a zero burger when we're out to lunch. I may be funnier than he is. Mm-hmm. I may be more interesting. Like, oh, we're not even different. That's the lesson. Plus, he's great and he's got a lot of wisdom and so and so. But it was more like, oh, I could hang with, I could be here. I could be around these people.
Or maybe
people.
I'm not here right now, but if I do the work for a couple of years, I'll be at a similar level in my area, something like that.
Yeah. So how do we get these people? Because we know these people. They want to be the king of the tarts. They want to be the richest poor guy on the planet. And they just hang with those people. You will see them vetting people.
Oh, yeah.
And anyone ever pushes back on them or anything, they're out of that circle. And then there's the other ones that just go, I want to be exposed to everyone who's successful.
I mean, I think people need to fail miserably over and over again until they realize, okay, I need support in some areas.
You know, what's your bottom?
Yeah, I think you just got to feel either humiliation or just it's not working, or you've got struggling relationships or your health. Something's got to happen. Hopefully it doesn't go that far. But if you're not willing to take the support or guidance or coaching from others, I feel like it's going to be harder. You know, Stephen A was talking about Kobe before. Mm-hmm. When Kobe was at the top, he didn't say, I've got it figured out now. I don't need any more coaching. I don't need any more team or support. I can do this all on my own. I can get better alone. He said, how can I go find better coaches, hire better trainers to support me to the next level and sustaining greatness? So for me, I'm always looking for people that are way smarter, way more talented, better leaders, and who can execute better in every area of life to support me in improving my life.
Well, you come to the right place.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
Gina?
I think there's a dirty little secret that we might be missing that from people, I'm saying this anecdotally, think about anyone who's come to you that this might apply to. One reason why I believe that people come to you looking for advice, you bestow all this wisdom on this, and they disappear, is because they weren't really asking for advice. They were asking for a fast track. Mm. They said, you did it. I don't really care how you did it, but can you do it for me? Mm. And that's not the answer you're giving them. You're giving them some sage wisdom, and they go, oh, fuck you.
Right.
So I think that's also part of it.
Right. People want the easy out.
Right.
You know what's a cousin of that is people come to you under the guise of advice, and they really want confirmation.
Yeah,
you know,
that like, too.
Hey,
yeah.
The subtext is, hey, I'm doing this right, aren't I? When in fact, it's like, no, you're not. You need to like change course.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another subject. No. I don't know why. Popped into my head. I've driven all L.A., Malibu, where I live, La Cunada, Malibu, probably highest per capita Tesla owners. Mm-hmm. If you were just to be hit by a random car in my neighborhood, it would most likely be a Tesla.
Sure.
Never seen a green Tesla. Mm-hmm. And green is kind of the deal, right? Seen a lot of Teslas where they're kind of bragging about, I plug mine in and, you know, whatever. Yeah. They're down with the
Go
moment.
Go green.
Fucking car doesn't come in green.
Oh,
if it does, nobody's bought it.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Jags and Aston Martins. I'll see.
Why is that?
I saw Range Rovers all the time. I saw BMW while I was thinking about Teslas in their color. And by the way, that's more than just a random color. That's their way of life. It's
right.
a green
movement.
This is why
you paid the big bucks, my friend. Yeah. Who else would think of this?
Even, ironically, the Nissan all-electric Leaf. Never seen a green. I've never seen a Prius. They have a weird aqua thing, but they don't have green like a British racing leafy green. Now, I would think that would be Sequoia green.
If you look very closely and you put it next to black, it might look green. Yeah.
Well, look. This is not.
That's an option.
I see black number one, which is kind of a sooty, carbony thing. Number one's white, black, occasionally blue, occasionally red, occasionally silver. Never see the green.
Yeah, no brown either. No colors found in nature.
I can't find a Prius that's green. I can't find anything that's electric that just goes green. We are the color of nature.
Go green.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I have a blue Tesla, actually.
Thank you.
for my point. Now, you're going green, but you're not going green.
Yes, I'm not all green.
You're not all green. You haven't gone green, but you're going green. You just, I don't know why. And then what's the disconnect? Because there are plenty of green cars. Like I said, the Range Rover, brings it up. Uh-huh. Plenty of green ones out there.
Green, ironically, must not be the color of luxury, you know?
But it is, though.
But the Range,
that's what I'm saying, ironically.
It's
of new luxury.
I think futuristic. You know what I think a lot of it is? I think of a lot of it is a monkey see, monkey do, which is like they were doing some stuff on the freeway the other day, and we all got off on the Western Boulevard or Victory or whatever it is, and there were 23 cars lined up in the left lane and the right lane that you could turn left out of. Nobody was in it. They all just stacked up, and I just went right to the front of the line, and I realized people slide in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People must be walking around going, I like that Tesla. It's black. Mm-hmm. I like that Tesla. It's white. And then go, I'm going to get me a Tesla. If one brave, rich person from either Malibu or the Lacanana Flint Ridge area would just buy a Kelly Green Prius. Kelly Green.
Special order.
British Racing Green. A green either Prius or Tesla. I think the rest of the world would follow.
I'm not sure if they even offer green Tesla, do they?
I don't know.
That was as close to green as they could get.
Yeah, but if it's not a strong enough color, like bold enough, you're probably just going to choose what is the standard that they're promoting on their homepage. You're going to see three options on their homepage. You're going to pick one of those probably.
Well, Adam, you need to get a custom green Tesla is what I'm hearing.
Wrap that shit.
Yeah.
Be the leader, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set the example.
I think I've painted myself into a green corner here with Kelly Green paint. Yeah. I don't know. Just a weird thought. Ironically,
what's the weirdest thought you've had all year?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We don't have this kind of time.
If you have one, the weirdest thought
was weird thoughts
all year, but at the top thought, if you could just go back to your memory bank this year,
has to do with the love boat.
I can only remember thoughts that are sort of recent
like,
thoughts.
Like an hour ago?
Like goldfish style.
Yeah.
I was thinking, let's see, I wrote Tesla.
You can't even remember. You're reading your thoughts.
No, I write stuff down.
What was the thought that you shared on the show? I had the craziest.
Well, this is not a. This is a recent thought, but not a crazy thought. Which is, I'm constantly amazed at our approaches to fixing problems. Like we have a homeless problem, and so we need more houses, but we don't. These people, you know, if only we just opened up spare hotel rooms downtown, then the homeless people have a roof over their head, except
problem solved.
It doesn't work. And then I'll hear the same people talking about crime, and they'll be talking about poverty. There's so much poverty, there's crime, but there used to be a lot more poverty and less crime. Like it doesn't, and everyone, I grew up around poor people. Nobody thought about bashing anyone over the head and taking their chain off their neck or busting open the windows door.
Or stealing their dogs.
And I started thinking about how would you possibly solve a problem? Yeah, shooting their dog walker. Mm-hmm. How would you solve a problem like homelessness if you're fixated on homes? And how would you solve crime problems if you're fixated on poverty as a causational problem? Was causational, and then I realized, you could never fix it, and that's why you just turn on the news and it seems to keep going in the wrong direction. And then I thought, why are the people in charge so fucked up on this?
Yeah, if I was in politics, I'd probably be doing something different, but I have no idea.
It was fix it.
I
couldn't fix it. And that's why for me, I try to fix what I can control, which is giving people tools to fix their own life or to improve their own the way of thinking, own way of acting, their behaviors, so that they can create something better for their own life, for their families, for their friends, and empowering individuals to learn. So,
are we in danger? I'm worried that we're going to have – I mean, California is filled with billionaires and people living way under the poverty line and ultimate fitness people and morbidly obese people. It's full of Priuses and Jeeps, essentially.
Extreme.
Like, I'm worried that
Jeeps.
Like, the people that you're talking about do get so much out of this,
But it's not really the crew that needs it.
Sure.
The crew that needs it are the ones that are languishing and overweight and can't get out of their own way. And
the challenge is it's really hard to improve when life is good or bad. Mm. It's really hard to improve when life is either good or bad. You only really want to improve if you're catastrophically bad, if you feel like you've hit rock bottom or even worse than that, because it's so painful at that point that you don't know where else to go. Or if you are an obsessive seeker of, you know, achieving, then you're looking for improvement. So on either extreme, you're seeking, okay, I need to find some answers. I need someone to help me. I need to find, like, I'm going to read a book. I'm going to watch a, you know, a podcast or whatever it might be to get some tools to help me improve. And I think it's on either extremes. But when it's really good, that's why I see people are trapped. When it's bad, that's where I see people are trapped, because they're so familiar with either being bad or good in their lives that they don't get out of it because it's not enough pain. And that's the challenge. So it's trying to reach people at all levels, but if they don't want it, it doesn't matter how much you try to help people, how much money you give them, how many tools you give them, if they don't desire growth or some type of improvement, then why are they going to take action?
That's such a great notion, because the first thing that jumped into my mind was, you don't just see a random person living a good life being like, you know what? I think I found God. Mm. I just did. I was just going to work. And no, it's I was destitute. I was in pain. Yes. I was in prison. I was in a foxhole. I was anything. And I was begging for a miracle.
I had a near-life, near-death experience.
Right.
I went bankrupt.
Right.
I got a divorce. Something tragic
happened.
It wasn't
just an average Wednesday.
No. And that's why, you know, good is a trap for a lot of people. It's hard to want to grow and want to develop yourself when things are good and when it's bad. I have a friend of mine who's in a challenging, you know, relationship for many years, and it's hard to get out because it's familiar.
Right.
And it's not bad enough yet to say, okay, I need to change it up. So there's just kind of an ongoing, like, complaint and an ongoing struggle, but it's not a big enough stress.
And a therapist will ask you that. I've gotten out of relationships, but in a very untimely manner. When they say, she said, on a scale of 1 to 100, how unhappy in this relationship are you?
And what do you say?
And I said, 60. And she goes, okay, how, in a scale of 1 to 100, how badly do you want to get out of it right now? Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know. It's not good. 40. She goes, okay, well, let's work on something else. And you get back to me when it's closer to 100.
Right.
She's like, I'm not going to sit here and bang my head against the wall when you just told me you're not ready.
Yeah.
So when you're ready, we'll revisit this.
Exactly. So how long do you wait until you finally, how long do you drag out a relationship until you're like, enough is enough?
That's the question.
How long is it for you? How has it been?
Well, God willing, it's over now.
No, in the past. You wait a year, 2 years, three
please.
Years, 4 years.
Six, seven.
6 years. When you knew six,
I
7 years
had
ago.
I have daddy issues. I mean, we all have our reasons. I can fix it.
Sure.
I'm not in enough pain. I haven't tried everything.
Mm.
So, but I think I'm in a new place now.
That's good.
With
congrats.
A nice guy.
Congrats.
Thank
congrats.
You.
Yeah, it's great.
I got dad issues too, but it's Gina's dad.
That's right.
God, what are the
oh, he was always
own.
Hammering
no, he's
on
a saint.
Adam. Yeah, he really was.
I cherished a man.
He was a saint.
I don't know. Have you ever thought about this, though, Adam, with your career? I mean, you've been so successful for so long. Did you ever feel like, it's good, but it's not the next level where you like, I needed to drive harder for it? Or did it just come and fall in your lap easily because you were just gifted?
I trained very hard for so long with no success, no financial success, no professional success. I was really at it for a long time.
What's long? A decade? Five years? 20
years?
It
was probably close to a decade of just sort of training, like Clubber Lang alone in my basement.
Yes.
You
hey,
know
woman.
What I mean? That's right. I was just training. So I didn't really move incrementally. I just trained. Mm-hmm. And I did everything I could do, but I never had any success. And then I got myself sort of a foot in the door of radio, just literally, maybe even just a couple of toes, not the whole foot. And then immediately took off.
Really?
Because I had all this training, this pent-up training that I was unable to unleash. And it happened lightning fast as soon as I got my foot in the door.
If you would have got that pinky toenail in the door 5 years earlier, what do you think would have happened? Would you have been ready for it?
Either nothing or much slower ascent.
Yeah.
So
it's funny. I had a mentor when I was broke. I was living on my sister's couch for about a year and a half after playing arena football. I got injured. I didn't have a college degree at the time because I left early to try to make it to the NFL. Didn't make it. I wasn't fast enough. And then got injured playing arena football. And I was working with a guy in kind of this mentorship relationship for, I don't know, 6 months. And at one day, around the six-month mark, I was just like, man, I'm so broke. And I could really use some money. Like, I need money in my life. I was a year and a half into my sister, like, living for free on my sister's couch, just eating macaroni and cheese every day. And he said, money comes to you when you're ready for it. And I was like, well, I could use some money right now. I feel pretty ready. But it wasn't until about a year, 2 years later where it made sense to me, because I think I would have just blown money. If money would have come to my life, I think I wouldn't have known how to use it, how to spend it, how to invest it. And I wouldn't have been ready for it. And so I think maybe for you, it came at the right time when you'd done 10 years of preparing and you were ready for the success that came quickly after.
Yeah, well, rate and shake it down and beat you up and take it.
Chris, I mean, you can pull up my Social Security document that was sent to me somewhere. But
he can
you
prove
can see
his
the money,
destitute.
But also, it probably, if I was to be honest, it probably brought on some bad habits, because when 2 years in, I was like, oh, I'm better than everybody.
Really?
And I don't even have to try.
And how old were you at this time?
It was like 32, 33 or something like that. And I was like, it was immediately apparent to me that I could do whatever I wanted, at least from an ability standpoint. I didn't have grandiose, I'm going to be a movie star.
Right.
I didn't have that. I was just like, oh, I'm better than all these people.
Wow.
Because all I'd been doing is training. And they hadn't really trained. They just sort of – they had repetition, mm-hmm. but I had this sort of mixed martial arts. And they were just practicing boxing like the whole time.
Right.
But I was doing everything. And I sort of used all of it in my – all the tools in my toolbox.
Wow.
And then it just became sort of apparent. Like I was like, oh – and then I would get lazy and grandiose because I was like,
yeah.
oh, this is so easy. I no longer have to train.
Did you have a point after that then where you realized, oh, I actually do need to be disciplined again? I can't just show up and just make magic happen? Or has that been the last 30 years?
Yeah, no humbling
it's
moments.
Just never, yeah,
the was day any, is young.
Did you ever you never got fired from something where they're like, okay, you're not showing up on time. We'd just be in the...
There were things that, you know, things that worked and things that didn't work, but it usually wasn't that equated with my ability. It was a lot of it was they want something different, a different thing than you want, or a different format, or whatever it was. But it was immediate. But then, you know, you take someone like Jimmy Kimmel, who I was immediately more successful than, even though he got me in the business, but he's continually grown. He's never took his foot off the accelerator.
Right.
He's always understood it.
He's been a machine.
Your
earnings record at a glance. Wow.
Yeah. Tax. So if you look to the far right category,
the entire spectrum.
I got some $2,000 years and some zeros and some
$6,000. There's some zeros well into your 20s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 94 is when I turned 30. That was a $6,000 year.
$6,000. Where did that money come from?
Heaven.
Manna. The reason I was able to live off of $6,442 a year is because half of it was reported, and I was probably making another half under the tables. A carpenter, give me $100, I'd come to your house.
Now, here's an interesting one. 98 to 99, and then 99 to 2000. What was it like doubling your income? And then once you cross seven figures, going down in your earnings, did that have any emotional or psychological feelings tied to it, or nothing?
No, I don't. I didn't even know it at the time. Yeah. It just meant we stopped doing Loveline on MTV or something,
gotcha.
And I lost $250,000.
There's probably a difference between like a 1-800 collect commercial, you know, going an extra 6 months,
gotcha.
At that time.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I never looked at it.
Mm, really,
this showed up, you know, later on in 2003, but I never thought, and I mean, to be fair to me,
I wasn't really doing it for the money. I was kind of doing it for because I was doing it. I wasn't a carpenter anymore. And so the difference between in 99 making 1.2 and then 2000 dipping down to a million, I didn't know it, and B,
gave it no, never mind.
You're still paying your bills.
I was just paying my bills, and it was on to the next thing. But,
well, the most significant jump between 95 and 96 was a fucking life changer.
Huge. Yeah, 36K.
Like 300 grand? You're like the richest man in, you know.
In North Hollywood.
Yeah, so I was destitute in, you know, 1994, and a high income bracket earner in 96. That's how fast it happened. That's, but that's just because I was training so hard.
Amazing.
That it just went boom.
And that's going back to the earlier conversation. I don't think a lot of people are willing to train for even 1 year, let alone 10 years today, because they want to be viral right away. They want to get, you know, six figures right away when they're out of college, launching some product online or something. And I think most people aren't putting the reps in.
And absolutely. And then we can sit in our chair and someone we didn't hear of yesterday, oh, well, they were just an overnight sensation. You don't know how many coffee houses they played, how many bands they opened for, but we've never heard of them and they just must have gotten lucky.
Right, right.
All right, let me hit a quick spot here to get paid. Simply Safe. Oh, home should be where your family feels safest, especially over the holidays this season. Give them the gift of protection with the number one rated home security system. And right now, it is Simply Safe. They are offering my listeners, Adam Carolla Show listeners, 40% off a new security system. We all use it. They've been a sponsor for a million years. Stuff is sleek and it's ergonomic and peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No pulling wires. Named Best Home Security System 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. Third year in a row. 24/7 professional monitoring. Cost under $1 a day. And they got an app. That's right. You can arm or disarm, unlock, unlock your door, let a guest in from out of town, access cameras, or adjust system settings anytime, anywhere. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Don't miss your chance to save big on our favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/Adam today. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. There's no save like Simply Safe.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Lewis is going to hang out with us. We'll do the news right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, Corolla Drinks fans. We've got a special anniversary coming up. November marks the 10-year anniversary of Mangria. To celebrate this milestone and, more importantly, the support that the fans have given us, we're excited to announce each and every bottle of Mangria and 33 wines during the month of November is $10 only. That's right. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and get your bottles for only $10. The holidays are coming. Thank you so much for supporting us over the past decade. It really means the world to us. We love you guys. Happy holidays from all of us at Corolla Drinks.
A genius having a Jew Christmas this season. 'Cause there's a new family that she's in. No dreidels this year for her new little boy, 'cause she married a mensch, a Gentile non-Jew guy. So here's some free advice just for you. Don't burn down the tree when you light your menorah. You'll be saying oy vey with your home
up in flames. She'll have a Jew Christmas. She was doing all right with her festival of lights, but now she'll have a Jew Christmas.
A classic.
Strong.
All right, should we just dive in?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Brittany Griner out of prison. After nearly 10 months in Russia, Russian custody on drug possession charges, the WNBA star is being released after Russia and the U.S. agreed to a one-for-one prisoner swap. In exchange for Griner, we talked about this guy, we're giving over international arms dealer Victor Boot. Retired U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, who's been in prison for 4 years on espionage charges, was not included in the prisoner exchange, will remain in Russia. His family, of course, very distraught over that. The swap took place in the United Arab Emirates, and the White House says...
We're giving a guy nicknamed the Merchant of Death.
Yeah. For a basketball player.
Okay. I'm torn because everyone... But doesn't it seem like, as the U.S., we are the sane roommate in the world, and
for the most part,
we have an insane roommate, which is half the other nations in the world. And then we come home, and someone has taken a shit in the entry hall.
Yeah,
and we go, I'm not going to clean that up. And the insane roommate goes, I like shit in the entry hall. And then at some point at 2 a.m, you're crying,
right,
and you're sweeping up it, and you go. And then people are going, why did you do it? And you go, because we're this, I'm sane.
Yeah.
And I'm we trying to, I don't want to live in a house where someone takes a dump in the entry hall.
Right.
And they go, they should have to clean up their dump. It's like, I know.
True.
You're right.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then you go, but what are the consequences for them taking a shit in the entry hall? I was like, they finished my cereal while I was cleaning it up. I don't know. You should do something. It's like, I don't know what.
What, pray tell?
It's like, you're literally punished for being sane. That's the new world order.
Yeah. So we're giving up Victor Boot, and we get Brittany. Of course, her family is over the moon. President Biden was in the Oval Office with Kamala and with Brittany's wife and said, we've got her. She's on her way home. And it was... It was going to get bad. I read an article about the penal colony she was going to.
It was like 8 years or something, right? Was it supposed to be?
Oh, nine, I think.
9 years.
And the conditions are rough. Now, apparently the men's conditions, for whatever reason, they let them govern themselves. But this is more like, if anyone watched The Handmaid's Tale, this is more like the colonies.
Wow.
But they kind of, the women are, shut the fuck up and do what the guards say. And it's, you know, forced labor, you know, 22 hours a day and no medical. And I mean, it's bad. So,
this is an NBA player who's got a little vape fucking pen.
Trace amounts of cannabis oil.
First off, I'm assuming everybody who plays basketball is doing a little bit of cannabis oil.
Everybody watches basketball.
And the notion that that's what they, and also, I mean, obviously the worrisome part is, it would make sense to snatch anybody at any time.
Right.
If you're Russia now, if we can get your despot merchants of death out. For hoopsters. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right.
But some good news. It seems like the vast amount of protests in China, which did not happen, according to the government, they made a difference. China's lifting its most severe COVID policies, including forcing people into quarantine camps just a week after landmark protests against the strict controls. And remember, we were not supposed to know about any of this. They flooded their own version of Twitter. They were really, really shutting this down, at least globally. They did not want everyone to know. But we know people with COVID can now isolate at their homes rather than in state facilities.
Wow.
And they also no longer need to show tests for most venues. They can travel more freely. Until now, China had forced people with COVID and anyone who was in a close contact to them to these quarantine camps. Videos all year show guards dragging people from their homes, like begging not to be taken. Yeah. Other wins, I guess we can call them, for the citizens over there. Only locking down certain buildings or floors or even units, not entire cities. When one person in Glendale may have COVID, we all don't have to stay in the studio for the next month.
I always think about the sort of foot soldiers who aren't even soldiers because, you got to weld that apartment building door shut.
Sure.
And I think 10 people died when they welded it shut.
Fire violation.
If some guy who's a welder, probably was working at a muffler shop before this or wanted to do custom Harleys or something, like, I need you to weld all of those people into their into their apartment.
Like,
and
a bank
that guy's got to have feelings like,
crazy.
I have mixed feelings about welding women and children and the inside elderly into it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but that's your gig now.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you kind of get into Nazis and World War II. It's like, oh, then what do you do with the guy who welded the shit? And now we kind of, in real time, we go, well, he was just doing what he's told to do.
We don't like following orders.
You get a few years up the road, you go, why was that guy punished? Those welders moved to Brazil, and we got to go get them.
Got to get the Showa Foundation involved.
Yes, Simon Wiesenthal.
That's right. Let's talk about this really sad news from Celine Dion. Adam's a big fan. I don't know if you heard about this.
I just saw
the show.
This is crazy.
And
you know how syndromes and sicknesses are always named after like the person who invented it?
Mm-hmm.
Not this. This tells you exactly what it is. TMZ reports that Celine Dion is coping with the serious disorder that makes her, makes people, not her yet, unable to talk, unable to walk. So she's postponing her tour. She gives this emotional video, I'll show you a part of it, where she reveals the diagnosis. It's an extremely rare neurological disorder called stiff person syndrome.
Oh, Jesus.
And it is what it sounds like. Apparently one in a million-ish people have it or get it somehow. She says the reason she's been suffering these spasms, it makes it difficult to sing. And the main symptoms, I looked them up, is stiffening of the torso, like the trunk and the limbs, along with violent spasms. It can be triggered by loud noises or emotional distress. And apparently early on, stiffness may come and go, but eventually it just is. So this is the end of her video about it.
For me to reach you again, I have no choice but to concentrate on my health at this moment. And I have hope that I'm on the road to recovery. This is my focus. And I'm doing everything that I can to recuperate.
This beautiful songbird who I saw in person several years ago.
How
in
was
Vegas.
She?
Oh.
Great, not stiff. You got it.
You saw her in the hallway.
That's why she sold 2 billion units.
Yeah.
Yoko on a 90? Still going strong?
No.
Fucking
healthy
doing
as a horse.
She's doing push-ups somewhere now.
Terrorizing us.
I don't wish it upon anyone, but I'm just saying, give me a choice. Slow Yoko's roll just a little bit. This woman has legitimate talent and pipes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is it she can't walk, or what does it mean?
It sounds like it's slow. She was having spasms, and they couldn't figure out why. And apparently, it's stiff person syndrome. And from what I read, though, I mean, I did a very light digging. It doesn't get better. So I'm sure she has the best team money can buy.
I don't want to freak everyone out, like, I was talking to Dr. Drew 2 days ago, and he's like, lots of neurological shit going down.
Autoimmune and neurological.
Wasn't vax related. It's just lots of shit. Maybe some of it is vax related, or maybe that spread it up, or I don't know. But that's not what our discussion was. It's like Danny Bonaducci's got something going on. Justin Bieber had
the Hunter syndrome.
Other people having is there? Are we just at our tipping point with plastics, or like what the fuck is going on?
Here's the interesting thing. I was just at an event last night talking about this. Dr. Daniel Amen had a brain event last night, and Miley Cyrus gave a talk, and a lot of people were there talking about this.
Wait, a brain event is.
He's like a brain doctor. He's a brain doctor.
Everything's a euphemism now.
He had a stroke.
He had a stroke. Yeah, because everything's got a euphemistic title now.
I think he's done over 200,000 brain scans in the last 30 or 40 years. So he's got all this data, right? So he's got all this data, and Bieber's gone to him to do a couple years back with his stuff, Miley and all that stuff. It's public. Kendall Jenner. He was on like the Kardashians talking about this, and he says most people only talk about the symptoms, but they don't actually look at the organ, right, to know why there's a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's depressed, they say, okay, here's an antidepressant, as opposed to let's look in your brain and see what is actually happening and what might be causing it and try to reverse that. So I don't know.
What freaks a lot of people out, too, is the randomness of it all. Like,
yes.
You look at something like – you know, cancers not brought on by smoking or lifestyle, whatever, ALS, all these horrible diseases, maybe stiff person syndrome, whatever it's called, the randomness of it all. People don't want to, I've experienced this firsthand, people don't want to accept the randomness. Like, what did you do? What, how did you get that? What was your lifestyle like that engendered this?
Yeah. They don't like the randomness.
Yeah.
Because that freaks people out. If the randomness, there's like this lightning striking all day, every day.
And how sick are you of hearing just in general, well, if you have your health, oh, fuck you. Guess what? Apparently it's true. I mean, we've Steve Jobs. I mean, the richest people in the world couldn't buy their health back.
Sad. Yeah. Something appears to be up, or, you know, you live long enough and lots of people die who you recognize.
Sure.
So there's
how
that
old is she?
Part of it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Late 50s, early 60s.
Celine?
I'm confused because she had her husband was like 55 when she was 14, so it's throwing off my gauge.
That's true. She's 54.
Oh, interesting.
Not very old.
No. Do we have time for a Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Just do it.
We'll show you how to play.
Just do it.
Oh, okay.
So, I wasn't ready for that at all.
I'm sorry. I mentioned it like 3 days ago. How could you not be on it? I'm going to read you a story, and you have to tell me if it took place in Germany or if it took place in Florida.
Okay.
Very simple. Here we go. A man has been arrested for stealing a car, destroying a church nativity scene, and having sex with a dog. Authorities arrested the 36-year-old and charged him with multiple offenses, including criminal mischief to a place of worship, very important, exposing his sexual organs and sexual activity with an animal. They say he allegedly engaged in sex with his dog in front of witnesses, including kids. When he was confronted by another adult, he took off running, headed toward a church where he kicked over a nativity scene and tossed children's toys from a playground. He then damaged a mailbox, tried to steal a car, and the authorities finally apprehended him. Did this take place in Germany or Florida?
It's got to be Florida.
Hmm.
It's a little hot to have sex with dogs in Florida, even.
Yeah, so you're not really considering all of the finer points.
It's a
cool weather sport. Let me tell you. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a cool weather.
Enough experience.
Look him in the eye.
Enough set. Enough set.
That's enough. Yeah.
Word of the wise.
Got it.
Is sufficient. Okay. So, having sex with an animal is a cold weather game.
Wow.
The nativity scene could go either way.
True.
Right?
A lot of Christmas markets.
I thought maybe he volitionally destroyed the nativity scene and then went and celebrated by having sex with a dog. But.
Guess what, Rex?
That was just on a whim that he did it. And that makes it Florida to me. Germany would be a careful planning of a destruction of a nativity scene and then sex with a dog. The randomness of the destruction of the nativity scene.
Poorly thought out.
Haphazard.
Yeah. Do you see how these things are picked apart to come up with?
I'll go the other way. I'll go the other way simply based on some metadata, which is I don't read a lot of stories out of the U.S. that refer to them as exposing your sexual organs.
No.
So I'm going to say that's a story out of Europe.
Brian is very good at pulling out. Very good at this.
That is good. And interesting point of view. This story took place in Orlando, Florida.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That was a good one. Had a nativity scene. I thought you'd think of the Christmas markets.
Man. Yeah, that was solid.
Do we win a prize? Whoever gets the most.
Do you really want a prize for this?
All the ex-jocks, you know, they can't stop.
That's right.
Speaking of prizes, footnote, a random footnote, but I thought of this. Lewis did a smart thing. You've alluded to this in the past, which is when I was on your show, I got a t-shirt, School of Greatness t-shirt, and I got a lot, you know, we in the broadcasting, radio, podcasting business, lousy with t-shirts.
Oh,
t-shirts come and go.
We
use them to mop our brow and toss them aside. Lewis did a smart thing, which is soft, cotton,
wearable
t-shirt.
Wearable.
I wore that goddamn t-shirt for years.
I like it.
People would ask me, and like, I have no idea what this is, but it was comfortable. And that's listen, people, make your t-shirts.
Go the extra mile, man. You got to go the extra step.
Nobody wants a cheap t-shirt.
No. Never been truer than with baseball hats. Mm. They skimp on the hats.
Yeah,
it's a weird little painters have the ribbon behind it. It doesn't. You'll never wear it outdoors. I got a good Jim Rome t-shirt.
Mm.
I wore that fucking thing
all through the filming of my home improvement show where I did my Jim Rome got more camera time because I would show up with it because it was just an easy t-shirt to work with. Mm-hmm. It hung right. It was good. I wore the shit out of that Jim Rome shirt.
Well, it better be a high quality t-shirt given what he does for his guests. Isn't he the one?
He does.
He does tailored custom shirts for every guest.
That's amazing.
That's insane, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Custom shirts for every guest. We do custom hoodies now. We pay like $100 to make a custom hoodie, but it's not too
fit. Is there a guy there with measuring tape?
It's not that. No, but we have like, you know, someone hand sewed these in LA to make them like really high premium quality.
That's very
unique.
Cool.
You can't just go buy it on some whatever swag site, you know.
No, yeah. That's very cool.
But it's not like, oh, we know your size is we're going to make this perfect for
sir,
you.
Sir, if you'll step up on this podium for us.
That's cool, though. That's a good touch.
We should do a version of that where we never deliver them the shirt, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
We just go down to Home Depot, get a Hispanic guy in the parking lot, put a bow tie on him.
Yeah.
We'll give him he knows his way around a measuring tape. We'll give him the cloth measuring tape.
You wear it around your neck, you look official.
We'll do the whole thing.
Get him some pins
and initials. We'll just get those fabric swatch thing.
A little chalk.
Yeah. And we'll tell them it's going to be 5 to 7 weeks. Yeah. It'll show up in the mail. They're never coming back.
Yeah, they'll never think about it again.
2 months from now, and I'll say, where's my fucking shirt? And we
sir,
have plausible
do you know how many
deniability.
We've had
like,
since then.
We sent it to your agent. I don't know. Yeah. Talk to William Morris. We don't have your home address. It could work. Let's get on this.
That's very smart.
All right, one more, Gina.
All right. We talked about the word of the year with Merriam-Webster. That was gaslighting. Let's talk about Oxford's word of the year, phrase of the year that makes me feel elderly. Because I was like, oh, that's popular. Online users were asked to vote on which word or term best sums up 2022. The vote was in for goblin mode.
What?
That's what I said.
I heard of that.
Goblin mode. It's defined as a type of behavior where you're unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, greedy, typically in a way that rejects social norms. Like, okay, I'm going to meet you guys for brunch, but I'm going goblin mode.
Oh, like I'm coming in sweats.
Yeah, okay. Very popular. We're apparently out of the demo. The president of Oxford says, given the year we've just experienced, goblin mode resonates with all of us who are feeling a little overwhelmed at this point. Last year's word was vax. This year's word, goblin mode, received 93% of the vote.
Mm.
Goblin mode.
Don't know. No. Never
heard
it. Is
that a British thing?
Ask your children. He has teenagers.
I've never heard.
Natalia would never go goblin mode.
And Sonny's like an elderly Jewish store owner. At this point from the 40s or something. He comes in the other day, sitting in my office. I almost cried. Not since he explained to me how much he hates soccer. I've been so moved. He just walked in and he just went, I don't like the band U2. And I said,
he just announced it?
I said, yeah, me neither. And he said, why not? And I go, I don't know. There's something off. There's just something. And he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, I know. And he goes, they're not bad. I don't like them. And I was like, and then I did. Bucka, 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 bucka. That's you too. And he's like, yeah, don't like them. My friends want me to get into it. And I was like, no reason to. Don't like them either. And
that's your boy.
Good talk.
Yeah, good talk. Come back when you want to talk some Red Hot Chili Peppers because we're going down the same road. Here, no reason to not like them. Just not into it.
Not into it.
Never was. Never down. And they were as big as a band could be when Joshua Tree came out. I was like, don't like it. Mm. Don't hate it. Recognize it. Fine. Not into it.
Right.
But it's interesting that he felt this need to come in and announce that to you. He knew it would resonate in some way.
Then he asked for money.
Sure, of course.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I need money in my life. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, speaking of the boy, let me tell you about electric e-bikes. Oh, man, I got to tell you, we are into these. We ride them every single week. Sunday, go watch football. Last Sunday, you guys remember it was drizzling, kind of cold, kind of rainy. And I said to Sonny, maybe we should drive to go watch the football game. He's like, we got to take the bike. And we hopped on those bikes and
made it. And it was cold, it was rainy, but the electric e-bikes performed flawlessly. And right now, they have limited time. You can save up to $250 off their holiday bundle with the purchase of any 3.0 light or premium electric bike, plus zero interest for 6 months, only available now through December 31st. Portable, works, usable. Throw it in the back. You don't need to drive a truck. You can throw it in the trunk of a car. Just fold it in half. Cover up to 45 miles on a single charge. Goes up to 28 miles an hour, which is zipping because I'm looking at the speedo when I'm going, and you're going 20. You're cooking. This is a great product and a great – it's great fun for me and my son. Electric e-bike, right, Dawson?
Start your next adventure with the electric electric XP 3.0 today. Order now and save up to $250 with a special holiday bundle and 0% interest for 6 months. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C, ebikes.com.
Well, I should give a plug to Lewis, the podcast, School of Greatness, wherever you find finer podcasts or better hoodies. Shoot him a tweet at Lewis House, H-O-W-E-S. Thanks for joining us, Lewis.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Jay Leno for an in-depth interview, and that'll be right after this. You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos' yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.